You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men in Generation Z about how you can grow and mature in your faith. Let me ask you to be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download the free Fortis Plus app so you can listen to us anytime. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or if you're on Spotify, tap a star rating. We want to get the news out. There are a lot of great podcasts on Fortis Plus, and we want to get those in the hands of as many people as possible. All right, guys, we are looking at number four. We are on show number four of fighting the battle with God on your side. All of this is from 1 Kings chapter 22. We've been looking at the story of Micaiah, who was speaking the truth in a very difficult situation. And we've talked about several principles. Number one, do not make an alliance with the enemy. And we talked about you can't be teaming up with collabs that don't make any sense. So don't team up with the world. Don't be unequally yoked. You stand alone if you have to. That's what Micaiah does. And then number two, we talked about you got to inquire the word of the Lord, right? Don't just inquire of your friends. Don't look into pop culture or psychology. You want to ask God, and you ask God, and then you study the Bible, and you seek godly counsel from others. And then you got to learn to, like we talked on show number three, you got to speak God's truth no matter the consequences. That's what Micaiah did. It got him in trouble. He went to prison for it, and he couldn't eat anything but bread or drink anything but water. But that didn't matter because he said, as surely as the Lord lives, I'm only going to speak for him. Now that brings us to our last two principles that we're going to look at in today's show. Number four, cry out to God in the midst of the battle. Let's look at verses 29 through 33 of 1 Kings 22. So the king of Israel, remember that's Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. So they're doing it. They've joined together. They're going to go to battle. And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes. And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, disguised himself and went into battle. So you can tell here, just in case there was something to Micaiah's prophecy that he wasn't going to come home, he decides to go in disguise. Next verse, verse 31. Now the king of Syria, remember that's Ben-Hadad, who had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, and he had commanded them to do this, fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. So we see here Ben-Hadad is out for Ahab's head. He doesn't care about anybody else, but I want you to get the king of Israel. And so verse 32 says, and when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. Remember, he's still in his royal robes while King Ahab was in disguise. And so these enemies, they turn to fight. And when they turn to fight, Jehoshaphat cries out. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Let's be honest. This part of the story starts out like a bad war movie. Two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, are about to go fight the Syrians. Now remember, God already had said through Micaiah, Ahab, you're not coming home. And so what does Ahab do? He says, bro, I got an idea. You wear your royal robes and I'll go in disguise. It's pretty much what he says in verse 30. And you're like, hold up. What kind of plan is that? That's like saying, hey man, wear this bright red hoodie in the paintball match while I hide behind that bush over there. And Jehoshaphat, godly, smart Jehoshaphat, actually says yes. He must have been thinking, sure, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, this is the ancient version of, bro, trust me, this will be epic. And it usually isn't. I mean, can you believe the arrogance of Ahab? This isn't the first time that Ahab's death had been prophesied. It's actually the third time. Remember Elijah's prophecy a couple of chapters earlier in 1 Kings 20, verse 42, says, thus says the Lord, because you, he's speaking to Ahab, have let go out of your hand the man whom I devoted to destruction. That's talking about Ben-Hadad. So because Ahab let Ben-Hadad go, therefore your life shall go for his life and your people for his people. So that was Elijah's prophecy back in 1 Kings 20, saying because you didn't fully obey the word of the Lord, you are going to die. And then the second time this is prophesied about is actually in the very next chapter in 1 Kings 21. That was right after Ahab stole Naboth's vineyard. Elijah also prophesied there, and he said in 1 Kings 21, 19, thus says the Lord, have you killed, because they killed Ahab, and also taken possession, and they killed Naboth, rather, and have you killed and also taken possession, and you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, dogs will lick up your own blood. Okay, so here's what's going on. This is the third prophecy of Ahab's death. And so Ahab doesn't care. He's ignoring these prophecies. I mean, he's still alive up to this moment. And so he's going to just go ahead and go to battle anyway. I mean, one commentator offers this analysis. It says, at this stage of his life, so hardened had Ahab become against God and his laws that instead of deterring him, God's word provoked defiance. It now added a new dimension to his purpose in going to Ramoth-Gilead. He was no longer out merely to teach the king of Aram a lesson and to win the city. He was out also and primarily to teach the prophets of God a lesson and to express the scorn that he was now feeling for them. Do you get that? He's taking it out against God. And he's taking out it against God's prophets. He doesn't like Elijah's prophecy back in 1 Kings 20 and 21. And now he doesn't like Micaiah's prophecy here in 1 Kings 22. And so Ahab, however, must be a little bit bothered by it because he disguises himself just in case, right? And then Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, he was out for Ahab. And remember, he instructed his men, let's only go after this king. And then King Jehoshaphat gets confused in the battle because they start to attack him. And so he cries out to the Lord. So while Jehoshaphat was being pursued, he cried out. And I believe that it's that he's crying out to the Lord. That's what the parallel passage says in 2 Chronicles 18:31 says, and Jehoshaphat cried out and the Lord helped him. God drew them away from him. Now notice something here. Jehoshaphat, who had earlier said, let us inquire of the Lord, is now just following the orders of Ahab. They go out to battle. I mean, he didn't pray about it ahead of time. He just went for it. He didn't ask God again, even though they had heard Micaiah's prophecy. He just kind of went along with Ahab's plan. Because when you stop seeking God, you start doing dumb stuff. And spiritual drift usually starts with simple decisions like, I don't need to pray about this one. And that's lacking wisdom, right? We need to always be praying and asking God for wisdom. Like James 1:5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. In other words, you got to ask before you act. And Jehoshaphat skipped the asking part, and now he's about to learn it the hard way. But in this moment, this crisis moment, Jehoshaphat's out in the middle of the battlefield wearing his royal robe, like flashing light, saying, shoot me. And arrows start flying and everyone's yelling, get the king. But in this moment, Jehoshaphat realizes I'm in the wrong outfit for this. I mean, it's like showing up to play football in flip-flops. You might look confident until the first hit. And Jehoshaphat was dressed for ceremony, not combat. And that's what happens when you dress for impression instead of dressing for protection. And when you stop seeking God, which is how Jehoshaphat got in this mess, you start wearing the wrong armor. You start trusting your resume, your charisma, your muscle, your followers. And then when the real battle comes, you realize none of that stops the arrows. And so the principle I'm talking about here is Ephesians 6:11, right? Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. I mean, the armor of God isn't just a vibe, it's a lifestyle. Truth instead of lies, righteousness instead of reputation, faith instead of fear. And if you wear the world's armor, you'll attract the world's attacks. When you are in the heat of the battle, who do you cry out to? Do you cry out for legal help or for family help or business help or you owe me help? Or do you cry out to God for help? I mean, I'm amazed how many times we feel that we must call upon those that we can see who have no power instead of calling upon him who we cannot see, who has all the power. And oh, how we need to be a people who cry out to God, knowing that he hears us. I mean, I love the lesson of the persistent widow in Luke 18. She just keeps calling out to the judge to help her. And finally, the judge helps her because she keeps persisting. And if the ungodly judge will help that widow in Luke 18, how much more will God help us? So guys, even though you might mess up sometimes, you got to keep crying out to God. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's why Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Or how about 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. I mean, in his book, Lord, Teach Me to Pray, John MacArthur writes, prayer is like breathing for Christians. When you don't pray, you're holding your breath spiritually, fighting against the very existence and presence of God in your life. So what do we got to learn to do? We got to learn to pray, to cry out. And I'm saying, even though Jehoshaphat initially asked the right question, inquired the Lord, he didn't continue that. And so he gets roped up into this battle, out in his royal robes, and almost gets killed. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to wrap up 1 Kings 22 about fighting the battle with God on your side.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. He's teaching today about spiritual preparation. And if there's anywhere that I can think of off the top of my head that knows a little something about spiritual preparation versus this worldly posturing, that would be the Master's University, where Dr. Tyson himself is a professor. The Master's University prepares young men for real battles, not just career success. Other secular institutions are focusing on networking and resume building, but at TMU, they're teaching students that when a crisis hits, you need more than just good connections. You need a real relationship with the Creator. So if you're college-aged, maybe you have someone in your family that is, or you know someone that is, or maybe even you yourself happen to be considering a return to school. Whatever the case may be, you should know that the Master's University is more than just an education. It's an education that builds character instead of just credentials. Go to masters.edu/manhood right now to get the conversation started. And hey, real quick, I want to take just a moment to say again, if you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus just yet, you're really missing out. It's packed with hundreds of hours of content from people like Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Kreutz, Libby Glosson, and Todd Friel. And the content that they are producing, that we're distributing on Fortis Plus, is content that will build your relationship with God instead of just your knowledge about God. We're adding new content every single day. It's not just static content that sits there. It gets added to every day. And all of the content that we're producing on Fortis Plus is absolutely free. Everything is free. There aren't membership levels. It is free from day one. You can see exactly what I'm talking about by downloading Fortis Plus right now from wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org. And the reason that it's free is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to stand with us so that more people in more places would also have access to the content we're producing. And that could be you. And if it is, we would be honored to link arms with you. If you want to find out more about what it would look like in your life, you can go to fortisinstitute.org right now to start getting answers to the questions you likely have. That's fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, and thanks for joining me today on this show. And if you are following the show, leave a review on Apple or give us a star rating on Spotify and share it with a brother who needs encouragement in this area. Remember, Fortis Plus app has all kinds of great podcasts. Make sure you go on and check it out. Well, here we are, guys, making a wrap on a four-part series of fighting the battle with God on your side. Thanks for hanging in there, because this is a long story, but it's worth every minute. 1 Kings chapter 22. And we ended right before the break with point number 4, saying you got to cry out to God. May you cry out to God in the midst of your battle. And here's really the turning point. I mean, Jehoshaphat surrounded, his bro Ahab is hiding, every soldier's aiming for him. He's out of options. So what does he do? Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them for him. And so again, that's an incredible grace, right? Jehoshaphat's a mess in his own making, but one cry of desperation and God steps in. I mean, it's like that kid trying to ride his bike without training wheels. He insists, "I got this." Then he crashes and screams, "Dad!" And the father doesn't say, "Told you so." He runs, scoops him up, and dusts him off. That's the heart of God. Even when you cause the crash, he still answers the cry. I mean, Peter had a Jehoshaphat moment too. He stepped out of the boat, looked at the storm and started sinking, and he cried, "Lord, save me." Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand. And so when you're drowning, you don't need perfect theology. You need desperate prayer. And Jehoshaphat didn't have time for eloquence. He had time for one word, help. So that's kind of putting a wrap on the fourth main principle from this chapter, fighting the battle with God on your side. Let's now bring it to a close with number five, the fifth final strategic principle to help us stand firm in the midst of adversity is this. Number five, know that God's word will be fulfilled. Check out verse 34, where a certain man strikes King Ahab. It says, "But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale of armor and the breastplate. Therefore, he said to the driver of his chariot, 'Turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded.'" Let's set the scene. I mean, the battle is raging. Jehoshaphat barely escapes with his life because he cried out to God. But Ahab, he's still out there, hiding, pretending, disguised as someone else. He thinks that he's outsmarted the prophecy. He's like, "If Micaiah said the king of Israel will die, I'll just not look like the king of Israel." I mean, that's like saying, "If the doctor said stop eating fried food, I'll just wear a different shirt to the appointment." I mean, Ahab's entire strategy is, maybe God won't notice. If I just look like a normal guy, they'll never be able to kill me. I mean, but here's the thing. You can't disguise yourself from divine precision. God never misses. So what appears to be random was done by a certain man. We should probably even just avoid the phrase, "Oh, that's just a random occurrence," right? I had a friend of mine who once said, "You're not accident prone, you're providence prone." And just a little reminder there that what seems to be at random from man's point of view is always a certain purpose and point from God's point of view. And that's where a certain prophecy comes true. Look at the end of the story, verse 35 through 40. "And the battle continued that day. And the king," talking about Ahab, "was propped up in his chariot." Remember, he got struck between the sections of armor. So he gets propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died. And the blood of the wound flowed into the bottom of the chariot. And about sunset, a cry went through the army, "Every man to his city and every man to his country." So the king died. And he was brought back to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Remember the prophecy. And the prostitutes washed themselves in it according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did and the ivory house that he built and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. All right, that ends 1 Kings 22, and the irony is thick. Remember, Ahab wore armor for protection, and the one tiny gap became his undoing. You can build 1,000 defenses, but if your heart's not right with God, your strongest point will become your weakest spot. And you can armor up with successes, confidence, and followers, but sin finds the cracks. And that's why Proverbs 16:18 says, in that passage, it says here that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I mean, Ahab wasn't defeated by the Syrians. He was defeated by his own arrogance. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says to put on again the full armor of God. Why? Because your armor isn't bulletproof. Ahab trusted metal. Jehoshaphat trusted mercy. Guess which one walked away? So what does the prophecy about Ahab's death in 1 Kings 20 and again in chapter 21 and then the prophecy by Micaiah earlier in this chapter tell us? It tells us that God's prophecies always come true. Every detail, every act, every occurrence. And after Ahab was mortally wounded, we read about how he was propped up there in his chariot, and by evening he was brought back to his home in Samaria where he was buried. And his blood was licked up by the dogs, just like Elijah had prophesied, and the symbolism is seen here. It's just as the harlots bathed themselves there, so was Ahab a spiritual harlot. He was one who claimed to have a relationship with God, one who even supposedly sought godly counsel, one who had even seen God's deliverance in the first two battles with Ben-Hadad, but not this time. Remember again, before the first battle of 1 Kings 20, verse 13, and behold, a prophet came near Ahab, the king of Israel, and said, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen this great multitude? Behold, I will give it into your hand this day, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And then before the second battle, a year later, 1 Kings 20, verse 28, and a man of God came near and said to the king of Israel, "Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is a God of the hills, but he is not a God of the valleys,' therefore I will give all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Now, what I'm saying is, those two prophecies told Ahab, "I'll give you victory if you just wait." But it wasn't enough for Ahab. He had to have more. And as he went against Micaiah's prophecy for more, God took his life. Ahab may have known in his head that these things would come to pass in God's timing, but he didn't believe these things in his heart. The prophecy was against him. 1 Kings 21:19, "And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick up your own blood.'" Again, what are we learning? Ahab's blood didn't just stain his chariot, it stained his legacy. He left behind riches, but no righteousness, fame, but no faith, success, but no soul. And that's the real tragedy, because in the end, the man who refused to bow his knees in life had to bow in death. That's it. After all the drama, all the alliances, all the battles, that's how Ahab's story ends. No repentance, no restoration, just a line in the record books. He died and someone else replaced him. And that's what happens when you live for yourself, young man. Your life becomes a footnote. Don't be like King Ahab. Don't harden your heart against God's word today. So let me give you guys a challenge. Man, listen carefully to what I'm saying. You can't hide your sin behind a disguise. You can't dodge truth with excuses. You can't outsmart God's word. So stop trying to armor your pride. Start crying out for grace. Every arrow in your life, the stress, the failure, the guilt, might be God's way of saying, drop the disguise and come home. Follow the example of Micaiah, who stood firm in the midst of adversity. Follow the example of John Huss when we started this show, this series four shows ago, who became a martyr for the truth. I mean, follow the example of Jesus Christ, who gave his life that we might live eternally with him in heaven forever. Ahab's story shows what happens when you run from conviction. And Jehoshaphat's story shows what happens when you cry out for mercy. So which one are you going to be? The man who hid in pride and died pretending, or the man who humbled himself and found grace in the midst of the chaos? Remember, you can't hide from the aim of God's truth, but you can fall into the arms of his mercy. So when the arrows start flying, don't disguise yourself. Cry out to God and watch him turn the battlefield into a rescue mission. So let me ask you as we wrap this four-part series. Number one, what alliances are you tempted to make with the enemy? Number two, are you inquiring of the Lord for the right direction in your life? And number three, Are you willing to speak God's truth no matter the consequences? May God help you fight the battle with Him on your side. Let me pray for you as we close. God, thank you for today. Thank you for 1 Kings 22. Thank you for this incredible narrative, a picture of a man who was filled with pride and who died, and a man who was confused, but then got clarity, received mercy, and lived. I pray that we would be men who would fight the right kind of battles, and that we would fight with the right kind of armor, and that you would keep us humble and holy as we want to honor you and walk in obedience to your word. Thank you that we're not alone, but we're fighting the battle with God on our side. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.